So last week, Pastor Paul, he did, taught us about test time. Did we learn a little bit about paradigms, right? And what is a paradigm? Crystal. They can't call me out. What? Thinking outside the box. That's a paradigm shift. And a paradigm is the way that we view things. But we need to think outside of the box. And we talked a little bit about that. And then if you unfold that a little bit further and we move forward to Sunday, Pastor Barb was talking. And what did Pastor Barb talk about? Who can tell me what Pastor Barb talked about? Where you just... She talked about the anointing. The name of her message was, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Step into the anointing was one of the things that you need to do. The anointing will talk to you. The anointing will refresh you. The anointing will release the grace of God into your life. The anointing will allow us to rest, are some of the things that she talked about. I took notes because I will not remember if I don't write things down. That's not a good confession. I remember everything. Everything, Pastor Bill, Greg. Just kidding. Anyways, but as I was sitting there and Pastor Barb was talking and I heard some voice saying, I can't do that. I can't do that. I do those things and it just doesn't work. I know. And my wife saying, don't talk so loud. That's too loud. See? Yeah. But we're not going to talk about any of that stuff tonight. I just thought I'd bring that up because I need to waste some time. No. If you open up your Bible to Genesis, it's the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, we see and read about the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire, and that's important today because there's a country called Iraq, right? And there's this ancient city that Saddam Hussein was trying to resurrect and rebuild. And he felt that he was one of the descendants of King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Okay. But the Babylonian Empire was one of the wealthiest and most prosperous nations of all time. They had a great deal of abundance. They had a great deal of wealth. And there wasn't a whole lot that they couldn't do. And as a matter of fact, in chapter 11, verse 6, the ancient Babylonians became of one mind and one purpose when they came together to build the Tower of Babel. And God said, we need to go down and check this out and see what these people are doing. Indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be held from them. Nothing that they propose to do. They could do anything that they wanted if they would just put their mind to it. Do you suppose that's what was upsetting God? Do you suppose God was upset because they would propose to do anything that they put their minds to do? No, I don't think it was that. I think it was the one thing that they were trying to do is they were trying to be like God. Let's build ourselves a tower up to heaven. Why do we want to get to heaven? Because we want to be like God. We want to be God-like. Okay? Is that a bad thing? No, but if you think you're God, that's not quite the area that you want to go. And it is not the fact that they wanted to be in one accord that was troubling God. It was what they were attempting to do. When we move over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, all of the apostles were what? All of the people were in one room. And they were what? They were in one accord. They had one mind. They were in unity. They were in one purpose. And God birthed an awesome work in and through them that changed the whole foundation of the world, right? Changed all of our lives. Put the world on fire, right? Amen. My point is that if we are truly to become one mind, even in this humble state that we are currently in Faith Builders International Ministry, and that's about, what is this, about 75,000 square foot facility? Just kidding. What is he talking about? There's nothing that we can accomplish. Even these people right here, if we would just be in one mind and one purpose, if we would have one united thought to build God's kingdom and not an individual thought, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish. Building the church into the might and the work that God sent Bishop Jerry Pruitt and Pastor Gloria here to do is something that we are called to do. We are in this place for that. You have chosen to believe in yourself and your abilities to create. How you think, your thought life, created what happened in your past and what's going to happen in your future. How'd you get here tonight? Well, I drove in my car. And how'd you get in your car? Well, I stepped out of my house and I sat in and I buckled up. I wasn't going to buckle up, but my wife made me buckle up. She said, "You guys will not leave until you buckle up. By God, you better buckle that thing up." We have thoughts. We thought about coming to church. We planned on it. We got up in the morning with the thought and the intention of planning our day. And we thought about it maybe even on Sunday. We thought about Wednesday. I know I was thinking about Wednesday because I had to be up here making a fool out of myself. Right? So we think these thoughts that create where we are right now. Your thoughts drove you here. Your thoughts put you in this seat that you're sitting in. You thought about it and it manifested. Okay? Whatever is our predominating thought is what we can expect to come into our life. Whether it is a positive thing or a negative thing, we are creating it. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart," how do we think in our heart? "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." So he is. Your thoughts begin in your mind, and they are planted as seeds into your heart. We, because we are constantly thinking, when we go to sleep at night, do we stop thinking? No. Sometimes my kids watch the wrong things on TV. Like my wife, she'll like let them watch like something that's scary. Like Batman or something, like The Dark Knight, you know, something like that. And then they'll go to sleep, and right before they sleep, and you know, my wife, you know, they'll pray and they'll say, "Jesus, thank you for mom and dad." And even though mom lets us watch scary movies sometimes, "Thank you that I'm not going to have bad dreams tonight thinking about the scary movie that I just watched." Because our dreams oftentimes are carried in by the thoughts that we had before we went sleep. Our mind is continually creating. Our mind is continually thinking. Our mind is continually drawing those things that we are thinking about to us. And when we think those scary dreams from those scary movies that our mom lets us watch, then see, yeah, get out of that. She knows I'm kidding. Anybody ever heard of quantum physics? Quantum physics? Crystal's raising her hand, so I'm going to call on her again. Quantum physics is like just wow. It's like just something, actually they've been studying it for about 80 years now. But they're just kind of scratching it, and they're like, "Well, we thought we knew how everything worked, but then, and we thought we knew how a molecular the molecules of an atom, how it's supposed to behave, how it's supposed to act." And then they went in and they looked at it. And they said, "Well, that's not doing what it's supposed to be doing." Right? And so they decided to look at it from a different angle. "Well, we'll look at it this way. No, we'll take one molecule." Anyway, I'm going the wrong way. Okay. Anyway. No, I'll tell you. Anyway. So they found that just by looking at it, changed the way that reacted. By putting light into it, was changing the energy and the way that it reacted to its surroundings. They've also found that everything, whether it is this building or our bodies or these chairs, on a molecular level, are made up of the exact same matter. The exact same matter. And when we look at protons and neutrons, and they're all doing what? They're all moving around and around faster than the speed of light. They're moving. And what's in between them? There's nothing in between them. But they're moving. Why are they moving? They're vibrating. Everything is vibrating. What's vibrating them? Why are they vibrating? Why are they moving? Who's moving? Stop. There's nothing there. Why is it doing that? Because it's God. He's doing it. At the molecular level, it's all made up of light. It's all made up of light. Isn't that amazing? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and empty waste. This is Amplified Version, by the way. And darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. The first thing that God created was light. And isn't it amazing that everything that is made in the universe that we know at its very foundation is made of light. And I think Jesus said something about light. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the light. God began the universe by thinking and then speaking and then creating light. Science is now proving that everything made fundamental level is made of light. Why in the heck did I bring that up? What are you talking about? I have no idea. I just wrote down some notes. But I do have a note. Why did I bring this up? So I wouldn't get too far out in left field. Science has proven that our thoughts emit on a wavelength. Your positive thoughts give off certain wavelengths. When you think thoughts about your wife, they give off certain wavelengths. Much like a TV signal. Now, these are all the electronic geeks over here, right? So, like the soundboard. Where's Mario? Is he here? He's not here. Okay. But in order to turn on your radio, you have to have it tuned into the right frequency, the right channel. In order to watch the TV, you have to have it on the right channel, the right frequency, so that the airwaves work its way to you. The same thing is happening with your thoughts. They're emitting a frequency. They're emitting a wavelength. The problem is that most of the time we focus and talk about what we don't want and what we don't like about our lives rather than what we do not want. Amen? We think about what? Not having enough money to pay our bills. We talk about not having the right education. We talk about not having the right man or mate, Pastor Paul. The negative behavior of our children, my goodness, if you would just, right? and we're emitting those negative thoughts and we're confessing those negative words about our job, our illness, my aching, I've got such a headache. Right? Our thoughts, our lack. As we dwell on the negatives, we are setting our mind on those things. We are creating a frequency, a wavelength that is drawing those things to ourselves. These thoughts definitely are not on the same frequency as God's thoughts. God don't go there. God don't think like that. We'll talk about that. And yet, we have His mind, right? In Colossians chapter 3, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear. On a side note on that, he said, for you died, how can you die again? What's dead? But he wrote that letter to a bunch of dead people? Oh, no, I don't think so. Right? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Your old man is dead. You don't have to worry about being resurrected or going back to that life because that life that you left is dead. Amen? You are saved. You're born again. You're a child of God. You have the mind of Christ. And yet we choose to not to think like Him. We choose not to think like Him. When you think about earthly things, that is what you are going to receive, right? When you think about your troubles, when you think about your worries, when you think about lack, you're bringing those things to yourself. But I don't want to, but you are. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 in verse 33. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You, brood of vipers, he's not talking very nice. How can you, who are evil or carnal, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man, or the carnal man, brings forth evil things out of the evil, the carnal things stored up inside of him. But I tell you, Jesus goes on to say, that men will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. But I don't want to be condemned. It's okay, we're doing it every day with our negative thoughts. You're condemning yourself because you're bringing those things into existence. You're already saved. You're made righteous. We should not waste our words on foolish talk. Words put things to life and are the most creative force in the universe. God created the heavens and the earth. He created us. He spoke it forth. Jesus breathed His life into us. Your mind is your creative playground, whether you know it or not. And the thoughts that you have today, right now, are creating your future. Just as much as today is a byproduct of yesterday's thought. If you spend your time thinking, talking, and complaining about what you don't want, you're actually calling those things into existence. You're bringing those things into your life. Why do you suppose that Jesus spent so much time addressing this subject? Well, where did He address this subject, Pastor Tim? Well, I'm going to tell you. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, I tell you... Oh, this is verse 25, by the way. This is in the Amplified version. Stop being perpetually uneasy. anxious and worried about your life. We move forward to verse 31. He says, therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? What are we going to have to wear? Nordstrom is closed. For the Gentiles wish for and crave and diligently seek all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. Jesus knows that I need to dress nice. You mean He sees in my closet in my 45 pairs of shoes? And He knows I need more? Your husband don't get it, but Jesus does. Jesus gets it. But seek, aim, and strive after first all His kingdom and all His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. And all of these things will be taken care of and given to you. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its worries and anxiety of their own, because that's what you're going to worry about. Because you're going to worry and think about it in the household, just concentrate out right now. Sufficient is today for its own trouble. Right? You got enough problems, right? I got enough problems with you. Right? But He just told me not to worry. Even though He was yelling at me for worrying. So why am I worrying about today? Well, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. Because He takes care of all those things, right? The little birds that fly in the air, He feeds them. The pretty flowers. Solomon, right? Here today, gone tomorrow. And yet we worry. We get consumed by taking care of these things rather than just believing God at His Word and thanking Him and enjoying His blessing. Why waste your thoughts and emotions hating? What? Hating. Hater. And worrying. We must take up the mind of Christ. Anger, hate, envy, strife are not only bad examples, but they create a negative environment. If you have the mind of Christ, then you have to get rid of your negative thoughts. Luke chapter 6 in the Message Bible says, I tell you, love your enemies. How many times have we heard this? He must be talking to somebody else. Love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives towards us, generously and graciously. Even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. You be kind and giving and good. Goes on to say, in verse 37, don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. You want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can be a boomerang. It can come back to me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Be easy on people, like your husband. Be easy on that man. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find that life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. These are the things that God thinks about. Those are God thoughts, God words. Those are God's actions. God is giving. He's not about receiving. He's about begetting. He's about encouraging. He's about blessing. If we want to live in the fullness of God, then we need to get our minds around these thoughts. Jesus said, give, and it will be given back to you by the same measure that you give, right? What are you giving your thoughts to? What are you giving your thoughts over to? If you're giving your thoughts over to negativity, you're getting them back. You're getting negative things back in your life. But I hear people saying, but Tim, I don't think that way. Ever. I don't. You liar. No, honestly. I think about all the time. I think about what I want all the time. It's whatever it is. Right? And I still don't have it. That's because you're thinking about what you don't have. No, that's not true. I'm thinking about what I want. No, you're not. Yes, you are. Because you're saying, I wish I had this. Or I wish I had that. Or I wish my spouse was this or that. Thus, what you are saying is what you don't have. And that's not how God thinks. God's not thinking about wishes, right? God's thinking about possession. God is the I am God, right? He told Abraham, he said, Abram, from now on, you're going to be called Abraham. And Abraham means what? Father of many. So, Abraham was going around, he had to tell everybody, you can't call me Abram no more. You got to call me Abraham, father of many. You ain't got no kids! You ain't got no kids! You're Abraham, father of many. I ain't going to call you Abraham, father of many. I ain't gonna call you that. I'm Abraham. Man, come on. He been drinking that wine again. Abraham. Then we move on to his grandson, Jacob. Jacob didn't have a house. He's walking through the desert, right? And he gets confronted by this guy who beats him up all night long, dislocates his hip, and says, good job. No longer is your name... Actually, first he asked him, what is your name? My name's Jacob, as if you didn't know. No longer will you be Jacob, but your name will be Israel, which means Prince with God. For you have wrestled with God and prevailed. So he's calling him Israel. And he's living in the desert, and he's got his family out there. He ain't got nothing. He stole the inheritance. He was hoping he could have it, but he stole it if he was going to get it. And we all know he did it, right? Now let's move on to the New Testament. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. When did he say that? He said it before the covenant was fulfilled. He stepped into his ownership of who he was before the promise was completely fulfilled. He walked in what he believed and what he knew about himself. And that's why he made Abraham confess who he was. Because he knew who he was. He just needed Abraham to believe in who he was. And the same thing with Jacob. Jacob was just all jacked up. He was a thief. He was having an ugly wife and a pretty wife, didn't know what to do with himself. Then he had these children, and then he got these sheep and these goats, and he had this messed up father-in-law who took advantage of him. He had a lot to be upset about, right? Right? God's trying to get you to think about what you are, about what you can be. Get your thoughts out there where He is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 assures us that we have the mind of Christ and must make a choice to walk in that mind. We are called on to put our thoughts on a higher plane than the rest of the world. So what are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? What are you envisioning for your life to be? Not your wife, your life. And yet you say, but God, I just want You to use me. Please, God. You never use me! And I've been waiting so long. If you would get your desires and your thoughts lined up, there's nothing that you could not accomplish. There's nothing that you could not do. But we allow our thinking to overtake our desires, and God has planted a seed on the inside of you. He's planted those desires deep inside of you that only you can satisfy by stepping out. How full would your joy be if you would allow your thoughts to be filled with the abundant desires that God has placed within you? Whatever your desires are, you have them. You are in control of releasing them by your faith. And if you really possess them, then why do you got your head hanging so low? Why are you... Right? Because you really don't believe it. You really don't believe it. You need to take possession of those thoughts. You need to take possession and ownership of those desires and feel the joy. Imagine yourself where you expect yourself to be in the future. Who's that pastor in Korea? Dr. David Cho? Cho? Yeah. When he used to preach, when he first started preaching, when he just had probably like 2,000 people in his church, whatever, he would preach with his eyes closed. Because he was envisioning, he was seeing where he was going. How big is his church now? He's got the biggest church in the world. Over 1 million people in his church. But 1 million people, you think about it. What's up? We could have 1 million people. That would only be 20% of the city. Those are little thoughts, little things. We must meditate, talk, and live in the things that we already possess. If God has given it to you, if He has planted that seed in your heart, that desire in your heart, you need to take ownership of it and enjoy it. If it's healing, you're healed. If it's prosperity, prosper. Live in that prosperity. Enjoy that prosperity. Amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 20, in the Amplified Version, it says, "Now to him who, by consequence of the action of his power that is in work with us, within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." Wow.
Wow.
Now to Him who is able and has the power to work within us, to do superabundantly, far above all that we dare ask. Why would we dare? Why would we be afraid to ask? Maybe it's not the asking, it's the believing. What are your wildest hopes and desires? What are your wildest hopes and desires? And I assure you, way out there is where God is. That's where God is, right? Peter, step out of the boat and walk upon the waves to me. And Peter stepped out of the boat and walked upon the waves to him. And it was not until he looked at his flesh that he began to sink. Do you suppose Peter desired to walk out of that boat? Woo! You know, I would love to fly. Not in the air. Just fly. The best dream I ever had. I was flying. Yeah. Didn't have no wings. I was just up there flying. And then this fat guy in a flannel shirt came along. Took my buzz away. Anyways. But there's a voice in your head saying, I can't do that. I've tried. I can't do it. I can't. Bobby Brown, I can't do it. I can't. I tried. I can't. And you know what? You are absolutely right. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, Carol Heater. Did you get your hair cut? It looks so nice. Yeah. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford penned that, by the way. Isaiah chapter 55. I usually don't put this many scriptures in my notes when I'm preaching. I usually just make stuff up, right? Okay. But this is a God thing. God's trying to get some message to us. I see this thread going the last few messages, and I'm like, listening to Pastor Paul last week, I'm like, I've been working on my thing for 3 weeks. He's stealing my stuff. Now, I know how you felt that night when I did that offering message, and it was the exact same chapter and book. But it's just the wavelength. This is where God is on. And when we seek after God, He speaks to His people. Amen? Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As it rains, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire. But I don't desire it! Well, then why are you talking about it? Because it's going to come back. But it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent us. Right? Jesus tells us, whatever we ask for when we pray, to believe that we receive them and we shall have them. That your joy may be fulfilled. Whose joy? My joy! Do you really believe that you have them? Is your joy really full? Our spirit man is perfected when we're saved. Our spirit man is perfected when we are saved. But our mind, our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, is something that's been renewed and it's being regenerated on a daily basis. It's becoming perfected. Your spirit, you can't, you ain't jacked up no more. Right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. We give so much thought to our renewing our mind. I understand I got to renew my mind, but what are my emotions? And what does my will have to do with anything? Well, probably has a lot to do with it, because I think God gave you some emotions, right? Believe me, some of you have them at least once a month, right? You have lots of emotion, right? The Bible teaches us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control. Self-control. That is the fruit of our Spirit. And if we think about the fruit of the Spirit, it all has to do with our emotions. Our emotions. It's not all about thinking, right? But our emotions are our guide, if you will. Right? We believe and we desire, right? And we're getting our compass and we're pointed in the right direction. We're full of joy. And then all of a sudden, a bad buzz comes along. Your husband gets out the wrong side of the bed and doesn't brush his teeth, and he ate too many onions last night, so he's really gassy. So you choose to have an attitude. We choose to have an attitude, right? We choose to let our emotions overrule us, and we decide that it's not our fault that we're upset. It's your fault. You are making me angry. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you making me feel this way? I ain't doing nothing, Jackson. We're doing it to ourselves. We're choosing to take on those feelings. We're choosing to walk in those emotions, right? But it doesn't matter, because the bottom line is the thoughts that we have, your emotions are giving you an opportunity to put your thoughts in check. If they're not lining up with the fruit of the Spirit, then you need to check them. You need to check the direction you're going. Should I pay for this? They didn't ask me for the money. I feel a little guilty. Maybe I should say something. Maybe that's your, right? Little check right there telling you what you should be doing. Or, gee, I'm full of rage and I feel like ripping my husband's head off right now. Love, joy, peace, that's not in there. I can't do it. Once. Okay. There's nothing scriptural about ripping heads off. It's not in there. It must be okay. Our thoughts and our emotions, right, have to come together. They're in one. They're part of your soulish realm. And your will. God gives you a will and a desire, and He wants you to fight with joy to go and possess the land. But you've got to do it with purpose and with joy. Right? If you're not walking in joy, if you're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit, if you're not walking in love, if you're not giving in love, you're all jacked up. Right? You're taking yourself off your path. You're drawing negative things to you by your thoughts and by your emotions. But I don't want to, but you are. I know. Is that fair? Right? But God's Word is God's Word. Amen? So we need to inspect what we are expecting. If you're believing God, whatever, we're all believing God for something, right? We're all believing God for something. Inspect your thoughts when you wake up in the morning. Are your thoughts full of peace? Are they full of joy? If not, get them there, right? Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. I know you do. But no, talk to yourself good stuff. Say good things about yourself. Maybe sooner or later you'll start to believe it. Your thoughts need to line up with God. Your emotions need to line up with His Word. And they will. You just speak to them. What got me going on all this is I was just sitting there one night and I was thinking about Jesus. I do that every once in a while. Right? Jesus, He's my friend. Doobie Brothers. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Brother Jerry knows what I'm doing. Anyway, Bob knows what I'm doing. Because we're on that same frequency that's over 45 years of age. Our frequency is high, on a higher plane. But Jesus said, He said, if you say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. You think He was jacking around? I don't think He was. I said, Jesus, when you said that, you were not jacking around. You meant it. Say to that mountain, move. And it will be moved. This is the same guy who raised dead people. I don't know what would be harder. But it don't matter because I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I am His vehicle on here, on this earth. There's nothing that I cannot think or do or imagine that I cannot accomplish. There is nothing as a body of believers in Faith Builders International Ministry that if we put our mind to it, that we cannot accomplish. The 500 or so souls that were brought to the kingdom the last few weeks. Just think if we put our mind around some things. The vision that this church has for this building that'll be planted out in the back. If we could get our minds around that and the several hundreds and hundreds of people that would be served each week by the Word. Right? What we could not do. Service after service, building this kingdom, preaching a message that isn't being taught, that's setting people free. If we could get one mind and one accord. Right? Amen. Amen. Father, I just thank You tonight. I thank You tonight, Father, for Your message, Father, for Your Word tonight, Father, that you desire, Father, to live in us, that You desire, Father, to live through us, Father, that You have planted seeds of righteousness in each and every one of us. Hallelujah, Father. Seeds of faith in every one of us, desires in every one of us, men and women of God, Father, with a purpose, with a plan, with a destiny that only we can fulfill, Father. There is nobody, there is not one person, it's not the person sitting next to us, Father, that is keeping us from our destiny. It is not our situation, it is not our job, it is not our income, it is not our children, it is not our parents, it is not their birthright, it is not the color of our skin. It is our mind, Father. And so tonight, Father, we choose to set our minds on the things above, Father. To follow after You, Father. To believe, to dare, to step out of the boat and believe, Father. To dare to believe above and beyond in our wildest realm, our wildest imaginations of the things that You can do, Father. And we grab hold of those things right now where you're seated. Take hold of that thought. Take a hold of that thought. And the joy that it's bringing you. The fulfillment that it's bringing you. Some of you are believing for wealth today. Some of you are seeing yourself walking in abundance. Some of you are seeing yourself, I don't care about money, I want my health. See yourself walking in health tonight. Some of you are thinking and seeing yourself preaching before thousands of people, bringing the gospel to the nations. Regardless of what it is, God has given you these thoughts. God is giving you peace in your home. Take hold of that peace. God is restoring your marriage. God is restoring your relationship. Receive it tonight. Receive it. Take hold of that tonight. Walk in that and act it out from this. But I don't see it, Pastor Tim. See it. Live it. Walk it. Enjoy it. Every day from this moment forward. Let go of those negative thoughts, regardless of what they are. Remember the Word tonight. Thank You, Father, that we remember Your Word and Your promise. And we will not talk ill about our brothers and sisters, but we will encourage them. We give, not expecting to receive. For we know, Father, that You give us abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think or hope or imagine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.